We'll give it another few seconds, see if anybody else signs in. I don't know. I see Aaron. I don't see Joe or Dennis. I'm not sure if they're coming this morning. Oh, there's Joe. Okay. The only thing I have for the agenda today is Owen discussing the cereals group. We can get started with that. And if anybody else has anything else they want to talk about or bring up, please let me know. Owen, are you ready to talk about the cereals?
Sure.
Oh, Kristen has her hands up. Hold on. Sorry, Kristen.
Hey, I just want to let you know we had our product council meeting on Thursday about the kind of changing of the product council. So we'll be getting a new liaison from the product council to the acquisitions SIG shortly. In the meantime, I can just say we had introductions on Thursday mostly, and we talked a little bit about what we think. I should say they now, since I'm missing all right. The product council discussed what the priority should be. It was actually just a nice chance to get to meet some new faces and review the year. And we're working on a folio vision document. And I don't remember if I shared that before, but I'll put it in the meeting notes. So if people want to look at it, you can take a look. And lastly, I wanted to introduce my colleague Jessica Glom, who's here from the University of Chicago, who's going to start
Yes.
attending the Acquisition SIGS meeting. And she is our what is your title? Library Order Supervisor, right?
It's had
Welcome.
many names over the years, I
Yeah.
think.
Yeah, so we're glad to have her here, and I told her just to chime in. She knows she works actually in folio much more heavily on a daily basis than I do at this point. So,
Yeah. Thank you so much, Kristen, and it's really nice to meet everyone today.
we're glad to have you, Jessica. Thanks for being here. All right, Owen, I think that's you're up.
Okay. Well, thank you. Yeah, just to say we've been discussing the situation of cereals in folio, and as I'm sure everybody on this call is aware, the cereals functionality is spread across a number of applications, or a number of applications need to manage cereals effectively, and that goes from the order process through to the cereals prediction patterns to receiving cereals pieces and claiming bindery. And inventory, having the pieces display or not display in inventory and in discovery, and how all of that works. And discussing this with a variety of people, a group of us felt that it would be useful to have a dedicated serials group that discusses serials as a topic, isn't focused on one of those specific modules. And that the best place for that to live, at least in the first case, would be as a subgroup of the acquisition SIG. So we don't set up a new SIG for this, but we do that as part of the acquisition SIG. And this reflects an approach that has been taken by other SIGs as well. So the RM SIG has multiple groups. Some of you will be aware of that. We're going to start having a serials group meeting, a subgroup meeting, I should say, every 4 weeks on Friday, offset obviously from this Friday call. So the first one will be next week, on Friday. It's going to be a slightly different time because of commitments from some of the key members. So we're going to be doing that at 8:30 Eastern time. rather than, I think this starts at 8 Eastern, so half an hour later than the acquisitions one. But yeah, and it'll be the first one will be 25th of July, and then 4 weeks later. I think, oh, this is 9 Eastern. Okay, so half an hour earlier. Thanks. Thanks, Joe, and thanks, Kristen. So half an hour earlier than this meeting. I think Heather has already added in the wiki pages, but I'll put them in the chat as well. So the main wiki page is this one, and if you are intending on joining that group, Kimberly did it. Thank you, Kimberly. If you're intending on joining the group, you can add yourself as a member on that page. And we're looking for topics, both for in general, but also for the upcoming first meeting. We have some topics that we can definitely add to that list. I haven't had a chance to do that yet, but this, I'm going to post a page now. This page has a place where you can add topics and the details for that that you'd like to discuss. Myself, Joe, and Peter from GBV definitely have topics that we can already add to that list, and I'm sure we'll be doing so before the meeting next week, as long as we find the time. Yeah, essentially, one of the reasons for doing this group is that the serials development kind of came out of specifically paid for work. The serials management module development came out of specifically paid work. Obviously, there's serials work in other modules, as we've already discussed. But a lot of that, sometimes that's been discussed in the acquisitions group, but some of it has been done kind of only kind of behind closed doors somewhat. At least the kind of community input has been taken quite with a light touch in it for the serials management module at least, and we'd like to kind of change that. And so yes, we very much would appreciate people bringing forward the topics they want to see discussed, areas that need development or areas that need better coordination between the different modules, all of that stuff, anything to do with serials. Will be, you know, fair game for this. And if there are things obviously that we need to bring back to a broader group of acquisitions, or indeed it might be we need to raise topics in metadata management or elsewhere, then obviously that's something we can also do. So if it turns out that there are broader implications and we haven't got the right people present, then we can always reach out to those people and either invite them along to the serials subgroup or attend one of their meetings. So it's not to try and generate any kind of parallel group. And we know obviously that people have a lot of commitments, so another meeting is not always a welcome thing, but we hope that this will be a way of just increasing the community input into that overall serials development and making sure that we're dealing with the things that are priorities for the whole community going forward. I think, unless, I mean, others are very welcome to say anything, Joe, especially who's I've been working on with this. I don't think Peter is here today, but Peter as well. Yeah, that's, I think, everything I've got to say. Happy to take questions, of course. And I'll be posting the same information on a number of channels this afternoon. Obviously, the acquisition SIG channel, I'll post it to Metadata Management, Folio Implementers. Any others written down?
Resource access.
Resource access. So, but if anybody wants to suggest other places, the first meeting is next Friday, 25th of July at 8:30 Eastern. I think that absolutely, yeah. The Dunglan, the question about Searle's print holdings display in Discovery or Library catalogue, I think, from my perspective at least, that would be definitely a sensible topic to have on the agenda. And as I say, if it turns out that it's more suitable for that to be wholly discussed within metadata management, we can move that over. But I think that because we know that, for instance, like the data you have about serials, I mean, it might depend in this case how that's being generated. That would be my question. But if you have data that's coming from, say, receiving, that is the different issues you've received for that journal, then being displayed, being communicated to inventory and ultimately being passed on to discovery, then that's the reason we can't just have the discussion about how does inventory deal with this. It's got to be like, how does receiving deal with it? And in fact, potentially, how does serials management, the prediction patterns, deal with it? How is that passed on? How is that data passed on to receiving? How is the receiving data handled? How is that handled both in individual check-in and in bindery? And ultimately, then what happens in the in inventory and the discovery layer? So it's that complexity and that join up that we're hoping this group can. I mean, I don't suppose we'll solve all these problems, but at least we can have that discussion and start to tease out where changes, what practices there are in the community, how different people are already doing it, how they prefer it to be done. And yeah, as Joe says, anything that relates to print serials certainly seems fair game.
Well, Owen, I look forward to seeing what we can do on the serial SIG. That'll be fun.
Yeah, and get adding topics to that list because yeah, we need you to tell us the right, I can talk about prediction patterns until the cows come home and will do if you don't stop me. But that's not necessarily a useful, a way we want to use your time, just for me to vent about the ridiculousness of serial prediction patterns
Yes, they
and
are.
publication schedules.
Yeah.
So yeah, let us know what you want to talk about. That would be great.
Okay, thank you. Does anybody else have anything? I was trying to remember. I remember there was an implementer topic that I'm not sure if I was out for a bit, so I'm not sure if it got discussed because it came up a couple of times, but it needed Martina. Was it 180?
Is this the one about the
181.
sorting of invoice lines?
Yes. Did that get discussed, Martina?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay. Is today a good day or?
I think it is. So,
Okay.
yeah.
Yes.
I would even be prepared to briefly show what I
Oh,
am
please.
looking at.
Okay.
I would then quickly share my screen. This is about like we are looking at an order line.
So this is 181.
Yeah,
Yeah.
that's 181. Yes. We're looking at an order line, and you can see on the PO line the related invoice lines. I'm here on Buckfest for Ramsons. And as you can see, you have three invoice lines linked here. And if you then want to sort by invoice date, that's just not working, although you have this little arrow here, and it would just be very helpful if you could sort by invoice date. That's it, I think.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I'm not sure whether there were any comments or any supporters on the implementers topic.
Kristen?
That looks like a bug. I mean, if you have an option to sort and it doesn't do anything, that just sounds like a bug to me.
Sarah was the supporting one. Yeah, so if you want me to file a bug, I can do that.
I mean, that's what I'm thinking. I don't know.
Yeah, if it's giving the indication that it should sort, go ahead and put it in as a bug, and we'll process it. And if we decide it's a story, we'll convert it to a story. But yeah, go ahead and do that, and we can definitely triage it from there. I don't think it'll be a lot of work, but yeah, I don't think we need a whole lot more discussion. The request is clear, and looking at it, it did look like it wants to sort, and it's not doing that. So we will need to look at that.
Cool. Thank you. I will. Did you see Deng Lan's message that the invoice sorting by date doesn't work in the POL, but it does work on the PO main screen?
That's good feedback. Thank you.
Is that the only implementers topic that we had left to discuss?
I have something very brief. Like I hadn't, it just occurred to me. Several weeks ago, we did acceptance testing on a Lists app feature relating to order invoice analysis, and basically to allow for reporting on orders with invoices from last year and so on and so forth. We've based on feedback from testers, we have actually made a couple of changes. The way it's going to work is going to be a little bit funky. I don't know if I'll get any actual results now, but if you want, I can show you what it's going to look like on screen. I haven't tested this since I said, yeah, it's good. So hopefully this will work. But yeah, so let me log in real quick. Did I mistype that? Why is go into the Lists app. What we've got now is I'll show you how that should work. We reset everything every night, so I don't know if it's got any valid data in there. But if I create a, what we're going to do is select order invoice analysis, and I'm going to build the query. So what we have, if I'm looking for an ongoing orders where I have an invoice from last year and no invoice from this year, the way I would construct that is I would do PO of order type equals ongoing, and PO related fiscal years. Oh, wait, do I have PO or invoice? Yeah, PO related fiscal years. Not con I think not contains all. I have to double check that. And then I would choose 2025. But we don't have any. So try 2024. Okay, so I don't have anything, but basically what we're doing is we added a new column for the related fiscal years. And then for invoice, we would have the invoice related fiscal years so that you can include last fiscal year and exclude this fiscal year. And in testing, we did get both. We have also added instance information. So you can also include, you can now limit this to instance types or instance information based on a specific resource type or statistical code or similar. So those are the enhancements that we have made. Unfortunately, Snapshot has been reset, so I don't have much in the way of good data at all. I can try to come back to this in a future SIG meeting and show you what it'll actually look like once I've populated some sample data, but I wanted to just give you an update as to what's going on with that. I think this is going to work because we were able to identify specific years that are associated. And the difference is now that it actually creates separate line items for each fiscal year if you are pulling that out. But at least that way you can get to it. So that's all I have. All I have on that. I just wanted to share it with you. Is this in Trillium? Yes, this will be in Trillium.
Yes, we'd love to see a demo of it when you're ready.
Yeah, I need to. Lists is not a new app being added. Lists has been in since Poppy or Quiznalia. I think it was a beta in Poppy. But we're adding more and more functionality to it. And so for Trillium, we wanted to have something useful for acquisitions. And based on feedback from the SIG, the ability to look at orders and invoices over multiple fiscal years so you could do predictions of outstanding obligations for ongoing orders was named one of the top requests. So we got close, but based on feedback, we had to go a little bit further. So we've done that work to make it go a little bit further. And it looks like, I think we've got there, but in a future meeting, I can show off exactly what this looks like. Hopefully with good data next time. I can also show like videos of what our testers tested, but I think we got to where we need to go. I do want to validate it one last time. I don't want to do a whole nother UAT because those are somewhat involved, but just a quick sanity check on that. But I think we're there.
That's exciting.
Okay. That's all that I had. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you, Joe. Does anybody have anything else? Oh, Aaron.
I did add another implementer story.
Oh, good.
Based
okay.
off yes. a experience that I had last week.
Oh, okay. Which number is it? Is it the
184?
184. Oh, there it is. Okay, cool. Thanks. Go ahead.
Yeah. So I had one of our schools had their IP range change, and they needed to identify and contact every single one of their vendor organizations that was providing e-resources. And what we found was there is no easy way to get large groups of contacts out of organizations wow. if that's something you need. So I was wondering if there was like a need to have kind of the same sort of export that exists in finance or a list type search that would allow you to search by to get a list of organization and contacts for that organization.
So, I mean, I could say, yeah, at the moment, there really is no way to get a list of contacts outside of getting it maybe from the API. So from the interface, I mean, we certainly could. Yeah, it might be interesting just to think about how those contexts would be exported. I imagine you don't necessarily want or need the contact. Would you be just exporting the contacts associated with a given organization?
Yeah, so it was in
Yeah.
this case, it would have been a subset of the total organizations and the contacts and their emails and phone numbers associated with each.
Yeah.
I took an inelegant approach because it was easier just to get all of them rather than try to find like the service contact versus, the sales.
Right. Yeah. I guess it probably would be, certain categories would be relevant. But the key thing being, it's not just one organization's contacts. In this case, it was many organization records.
Yeah,
Is
the
that
sorry.
because you all have a different org record for each library, or is it because of something
In
else?
this case, they needed to contact probably 60 vendors about an IP range change for their e-resources. So it was kind of a one-off, but we did discover that if it's something that's going to be too onerous to click through every
Yeah.
single one, it's not possible. I wasn't sure if there was any use case anyone had besides a library IP range change. Yeah, we are able to get it out through a reporting tool, because we can do. With enough time and effort, we can get anything out through our reporting tool. But it takes a lot of time and it's not necessarily friendly to everyone.
Yeah, ListApp might be a really interesting approach.
Yeah, I think this ListApp would actually be ideal for this. We'll want to talk to Coursera about it, but just off the top of my head, creating an organizations plus contents or contacts entity type would allow exactly that, and then you could just generate a list of organizations with a specific contact person, or inversely, a list of contacts of a particular type. So you could do just a list of service contacts. I mean, it seems fairly easily attainable. But I also know that they are working on kind of a do-it-yourself ad hoc entity thing, which I don't know when that's coming out, Umbrella Leaf, but that might actually just let you do it yourself, which would also be ideal, but I don't know. I know they're working on it. I just don't know if they'll have it done for Trillium. But yeah, there I can see a path forward on this with lists.
I think there's a really interesting intersection. Well, it's probably pretty obvious, but there's a really interesting intersection between lists and acquisitions in so many different ways. Especially because of the export functionality of lists, and some of the other features that you get there, especially longer term. But the idea that you have a static list, and at some point, you may be able to have a list that refreshes on its own. And kind of supports workflows. My original thought was also to have those lists integrate with dashboards. It just seems like they're powerful workflows that we could get from the list application that sort of cross over with the export feature that we have from our acquisitions apps. And I'm sort of I wonder what you all think of that idea, of leveraging lists for things like this. Let me give an example. So we could obviously figure out or implement an export similar to the existing export, where you do a search for organization records, gives you a bunch of organization records in the second pane, and then in the action menu there's an option for export results to CSV. We could add, using that similar pattern, we could add export contacts to CSV as an example. But my thinking is we could also add, like, create list for those results. And my thought would be, you have this list of organizations, and you could, whatever it is that you're thinking you want to do, rather than just export to CSV, you could turn that result list of organization records into a list. And then you have, from that point, a lot of different options. The integration could be, or the interaction could be more specific than that as well. But there are technical reasons why the regular export is not ideal. Like that CSV, that export to CSV was implemented a long, long time ago, and it wasn't intended to be the final state of that functionality. But since then, there is actually an export manager application that offers a bunch of, more performant export functionality. And now there's the list app that offers a sort of a combination of those things, like more reporting functionality, I guess you could say, or what might resemble sort of, because of the different entity types you can use, you can take your list and you can add a whole bunch of other information to that list. And then you can also export it. Whereas this export to CSV remains kind of limited in that if you had a lot of organizations, and some institutions I know do have, 70,000 plus organizations, you have a lot of organizations, this CSV export is problematic. Like, it tends to be slow because what it's doing is collecting all that information into the UI memory and building a CSV file for you to download. So it could also, if you leave the page or something, it stops. So there are a lot of reasons why it's not ideal at the moment. But is it interesting, or what do folks think of creating a list of those things versus exporting them to CSV immediately? I'm wondering if you would see this as adding, just that adds an extra step if I want to export, because now I have a list, and then I have to go from the list to exporting it to CSV. Or would oftentimes the things that you're wanting to do with that list be, something that you could do from the list application, or might be a list that you want to come back to, in which case having it there may be kind of helpful because you can come back to it whenever you want. I'm wondering about those things. Sarah, go ahead.
Nice. So just also I came a little late to the meeting, but I heard all the list stuff, I think. So I've been on Bella for a while and I've used lists, so I'm speaking from that experience. But I think actually, as long as, the good thing about the CSV directly from like acquisitions is that you can tell it to dump all everything, right? All fields. And so as long as that ability also remains via lists, that you can truly get out all fields, then it would be better to be in lists, because then if I send it over to lists, then I can open it and I can manipulate which, if I don't want all the columns, it's much easier to manipulate which ones I don't want. And in lists, depending on how this then gets combined with the query builder, maybe I can add additional things in, starting in acquisitions, but then refining, or also how the data comes out is different in lists than currently it is if I do the CSV dump from like orders. So that might be then better too. So I could see this being a plus as long as there's no loss of functionality or loss of ability to get at certain data, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that does. You want to make sure if you're going over that direction that you still have all the fields potentially, because you don't want to get over there and then realize that, oh, the list doesn't include X field. So now I have to go back to my CSV anyways. Yeah. Krista?
So this is a question about sort of what you could do with lists, because I could see if you knew like you could go over to lists and you could just export to CSV from there almost, like that would be fine. I think if you wanted to consolidate where you got the data out from, like so you could create a list, you could work with the list in Folio, or you could like just get it out into a CSV, because I'm sort of thinking like in this use case of the contacts, like if you're reaching out to vendors and you're trying to update the IP address, you might do things in Excel that you really wouldn't do in the list itself. Like you might highlight the vendors that just aren't responding to you or that you're having difficulty with. You might, and but once it's all done, like you don't really need to like be keeping it forever. So you might make all your own notes yourself. I could see this sort of contact export coming in handy too. Like we reach out to vendors about shipment pauses sometimes, like when the library closes over winter break. We've also had to change our we had this issue here once with like a new class of authorized users, and that was like a big deal. And that one, like some vendors were like, great, thanks. And then other vendors were like, we have to have a long conversation. And so trying to track their responses in more of a free form way, was helpful for having the information out. But like if I knew I could go to lists and I was like, oh, you know what, I just want to see all the current orders from the last month or something, instead of going to orders, I just go to lists and I create a list and then I export it out so I can, do whatever I want with it. Like that would be fine too.
Thank you. That makes sense. Yeah. Just reading in the chat a few of the comments as well. The comment about saving selected exported fields. I think what you mean there is, or what you're referring to is when you run the CSV export. At the moment, you have to, if you only want some fields, you've got to select them every time you do the export. I think we did write a feature for that, or we have that on our list of topics, discussion topics, and we need to create a story for it. But yeah, that may be an interesting aspect of lists. I don't know if you in the list can limit the number of things, well, the number of fields that would get exported when you export the list, if that's like a saved setting, so to speak. But
Yeah, you save your lists, you save your query and name it, and then you can rerun it, and you can only have certain fields come out and also see. It depends, like in Quiznelia, not quite yet, but it's coming, right? Where then the export only contains the fields that you checked off.
You selected. So you've probably do gain some flexibility there. And yeah, th this my you know, it wouldn't necessarily replace the CSV export, but if we were looking for ways, you know, when we're looking at implementing something to cover this type of use case, like we need to export specific things from the organization record, rather than taking the quick and less technically appropriate solution here, which we could take, I think it might be more interesting to explore an integration with lists, because that could open up a whole new realm of kind of possibilities for workflows from the organization application. Maybe arguably more important for orders and invoices, or orders and receiving, maybe. I don't know. But yeah, interesting possibility. Looks like we got another hand. Jessica, go ahead.
This is very interesting about the possibility of using lists. Like, I don't have permissions for that app right now, but I know our head of acquisitions would probably like to use it for like overseeing things that the, that happened in the last fiscal year. But myself, I pull out weekly orders lists from the orders app, and it's pretty much the same parameters every time. So this option to save parameters instead of having to put them in every single time into the orders app to export is like very attractive time saver. But if there's a way to toggle dates in this, that would make it work, for something like this. I don't know if others have to do a similar thing on like a weekly or monthly basis.
Sarah, was your comment related to that or?
In part, yes. So one thing that is nice about lists is you save your query, you name it, and that you can rerun every time, and then it's really quick and easy to edit it each time. So like if you had to change your date range each time, you would just click on it, open it, edit the date range, and then save it and run it. And so everything else would get saved. So that works really nicely in lists for things like that. The one thing about lists is to be careful about, or one other nice thing is in lists then is that it can cross app information, so or it's getting to be at that point. And so you can bring in like one thing that is sometimes a problem, right, is to see invoice, true invoice information and finance information with the order, with the POL, and then also receiving or something, right? Like truly get detail-y stuff across all apps. And that should be coming with lists with the new functionality. It has new some new infrastructure acronym that I can't remember, or letters. And but the one thing to watch out for is, and to pay attention to, is that how things get named in lists when you're building your query and you're choosing things has to truly match up with the apps. And this is not always, yes, FQM, thank you, Owen. So, and that has not always happened. And it has also not always happened. Like lists really started mining inventory first, right? Like, or users, and then, but my experience is more with inventory. And you choose something and you think it's one thing, but then it ends up not being that thing. And so that is really confounding and frustrating often. So as long as we pay attention that how things are named when you're building your query and lists match up with the reality of the app and what you see and what you actually, the information that Folio actually provides, then that would be just something to pay attention to when this gets built out. Folio query machine, right? Thank you, Aaron. I forgot what it was called.
Yeah, I see that. I just see like a powerful interaction there. Things like, refresh my list for, obviously you can, it sounds like you can do this now. You can reset your dates, but refresh my list for the last 90 days as a date range option in lists, set last 30 days, last 90 days, something like that. Is a subtle change, but for acquisitions to do that with the export, trying to build in, like, we get into essentially, I think, probably saved searches and then like dynamic saved searches, which are effectively lists. There's so much. And Owen's making a comment about the dashboard. If you tie these three things together, we have kind of exactly what users are looking for. So, at least that's kind of what I'm hearing. And just makes me more aware that maybe we need to be focusing more on that than just what's available in our acquisitions application interfaces. We're at an interesting crossroads here. Sorry, Owen, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to expand on that and say the dashboard already supports that idea of dynamic query generation with, like, essentially when you configure a dashboard widget, you can put in a query parameters, including dates that are relative to the current date, whatever the current date is, not like at the point the user loads that dashboard widget, as opposed to at the point that the report was written or the dashboard widget was configured. So you can say, include in this case, like agreements that have a end date within 90 days of today or within the last 90 days of the current date, whatever it is. And we have got, as I say, a feature to combine that with originally lists, but we talked to the lists people and they said, oh, you might want to, as Sarah mentioned, like actually do a do more direct integration between dashboard and FQM. But as you mentioned, Dennis, it's kind of all of these things touch on the same stuff, but they're not quite the same. I think for me, the fact the dashboard has that kind of dynamic data handling and dynamic query generation is one of its strengths. But obviously, it's designed for on-screen monitoring, not reporting. So you kind of have those different aspects. I mean, those two tasks obviously very much overlap, but like there is a difference between like I dashboard which brings together maybe data from multiple places in the system, puts it on the screen, and gives you the opportunity to work with it from within the system, versus something you want to print out and take away. In like Dunlang's example, the dashboard isn't the place to do that kind of work for then generating a load of emails out to suppliers, because it's not that kind of external reporting functionality which lists is more like. So it definitely feels like we're trying to there are all these different pieces of places where things are improving, but it is still slightly spread across multiple places in Folio, and I'm not sure what the right solution is to bring this all together. These things are subtly, as Dennis says, subtly different, but they are obviously also very similar. And I think certainly from the dashboard situation, I feel like being able to integrate with FQM or lists, but maybe FQM more directly, would be a huge step forward for us, and make that a lot more useful. But it wouldn't solve all of the kind of use cases we're talking about here, but it might be part of the picture. Sarah.
So just to respond to two things that in chat. So one, Joe just mentioned about the challenges, and this is very true around like, I don't think we should expect lists to do math for us, right? I think we have to realize the limitations of the tool. And for something like that, then you really have to dump the data out and manipulate it yourself in Excel or, whatever you're going to dump it into and do with it. It's a list. I think that is like literally what we have to understand it to be and not expect it to do things that it cannot. It can reflect what is there, but not do things. The other thing, Owen, you had said, you had put in chat earlier, are there examples of that cross-app reporting yet? So we're about to go to ransom, so I have dry run open to see ransoms. And while so I think it's much further along than ransom. So like I said, I couldn't quite remember where things really get a lot better, but already in ransoms, one thing that you can do that's not maybe totally cross-app, but for example, there is the record type that you can query on in lists called POL, right? Purchase order lines. And when I go in there into building the query, for example, then I can use as part of my query things like vendor org status, vendor org code. Is the vendor a vendor? Of course it is, otherwise it's not a vendor. But anyways, but it's looking at data that I can't actually see in the POL. It has to be there somewhere. So it is kind of actually touching on the organization app, right? So it is in effect a cross-app one. It might not be as powerful as what I ultimately want or need, but it's already trending that way, let's say. Other things that you can query on. Around the organization, around the vendor. So it's starting to build that out through this FQM, but it still has a ways to go from ransoms. But I think in Sunflower, it's much further along. I forget now exactly.
I guess that my question, like, it's probably hard to tell from the UI. Like, I don't know if anybody on this call knows. Maybe I need to go and ask someone else. But that question about whether that is truly doing like cross-app reporting, that is bringing together data that is only stored in organizations and only stored in orders and doing the report on it, or whether that data is already stored in orders, but you don't normally see it, and lists is just getting the opportunity to expose that to you, is a really important one to know, to understand its capabilities. So at the moment, I hadn't seen anything that suggested to me that it could actually cross-app report, but as I say, it's sometimes a little hard to tell from both the test systems that I usually look at and also the options that are on offer. So it may be doing that, but I was looking for any confirmation of that, and maybe I need to ask someone working the app, in the lists app, unless Dennis or Joe already know exactly how far it's gone.
I mean, there has to be some sort of foreign key. Like you can't look at you for instance, there's no way in the Lists app where you can look at patrons who have checked out materials purchased through Amazon because there's no connections anywhere. But as long as there's a UUID somewhere referencing another record type, the Lists app can work with it. I don't know that it necessarily works in the opposite direction because it really depends on that UUID somewhere. But as long as that relationship's there, then I don't know that we necessarily need true cross app as long as we have the reference into another component of Folio that gives us something to grab onto. Because once we have that connection, then we can just go ahead and retrieve other rel excuse me, retrieve other relevant data.
We have about 2 minutes left in the meeting. So, if anybody else has anything they want to say, or we can wrap it up.
Yeah, I'll just say really appreciate the time for a bit of discussion here about this. And Sunflower, we will soon have our highlights slide deck for Sunflower functionality.
Nice.
So yeah, we should probably just set aside some time to look at that as a group. That's just the highlight slides that tell it basically describes all the features that were delivered for acquisitions for Sunflower. Yeah, so we should have that together.
How soon will you have that ready, Dennis?
Let's look at the calendar really quick here. I'm thinking 2 weeks is
Okay.
totally reasonable. So.
Good deal. We'll put that on the agenda for, I'll check with you before I do it, but I'll put myself a reminder to check with you in about 2 weeks on it.
Sounds great.
All right. Thank you, everyone. Have a good weekend.
Indeed.
Rest of Friday if it's the morning show.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks all.